Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Human Geography for Dummies by Kyle Tredinnick. Narrated by Jonathan Todd Ross. Publisher's Note. In this audio edition, you will hear references to figures present in the print and ebook formats of the book. Limit of Liability Disclaimer of Warranty. While the publisher and authors have used their best efforts in preparing this work, they make no representations or warranties with respect to the accuracy or completeness of the contents of this work, and specifically disclaim all warranties, including without limitation any implied warranties of merchantability or fitness for a particular purpose. No warranty may be created or extended by sales representatives, written sales materials, or promotional statements for this work. The fact that an organization, website, or product is referred to in this work as a citation and/or potential source of further information does not mean that the publisher and authors endorse the information or services the organization, website, or product may provide or recommendations it may make. This work is sold with the understanding that the publisher is not engaged in rendering professional services. The advice and strategies contained herein may not be suitable for your situation. You should consult with a specialist where appropriate. Further, readers should be aware that websites listed in this work may have changed or disappeared between when this work was written and when it is read. Neither the publisher nor authors shall be liable for any loss of profit or any other commercial damages, including but not limited to special, incidental, consequential, or other damages. Introduction. As I write this, we are presently looking at a shockingly high number of major world issues. The Russian invasion of Ukraine, Israel and Hamas in the Gaza Strip, climate change, reverberating impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic, sectarianism and fanaticism in multiple governments around the world, and poverty and inequality in many places. All of it, let me say that again, all of it, can be better understood by geography. And because these things can be understood by geography, then maybe geography can help begin correcting some of the many issues out there. Maybe, just maybe, if everyone had a little more understanding of what is actually going on, there wouldn't be so much of this craziness going on. As my biographical information on the cover says, I am a geographic educator. My career is devoted to teaching others about geography. Human geography is by far and away my favorite subject to teach. All of the issues I listed at the beginning of this introduction can be contextualized by human geography to help make sense of them. Sometimes it feels like you can see into the inner workings of a problem to make those problems just a little less daunting. What I especially love about this subject is its ability to connect with anything and anyone. In my experience, people love learning about new things and places. It's one reason travelogues are so plentiful. You can learn about the world from someone else's point of view, from the safety of your own couch. Human geography, however, empowers you to write your own story. Your story can be a geographic story that's not just about collecting superlatives. Geographic exploration is about much more than checking things off so you can post pictures on social media. Your story will have a deeper meaning. You will also connect what you find to the collective of what others have seen and done. That's one of the great things about learning. You learn things you never even thought you would, and then you can contribute to the world's body of knowledge so that others can learn from you. Sometimes we don't know what we don't know until we know. We're constantly being cued about how and what to think. Only by learning for yourself can you really truly figure things out. For example, about a month into living in China, a couple of us took a trip to Tiananmen Square in the heart of Beijing's governmental center. While being a couple of goofy-looking tourists amidst the throngs of people celebrating China's National Day, a man who wasn't Chinese came up to us and asked if we were Americans. My friend is Canadian, so he quickly corrected the man, saying we were from the U.S., Canada, and Malaysia. To which he replied, "I'm Iranian. I don't want to kill you." Once we stopped laughing, we talked about how our respective governments and media cue us to dislike and mistrust one another. I genuinely enjoy talking to Hamid, the engineering student from Iran. And that connects to one of my overarching goals for this book, to start building your own perspectives of the world. And human geography gives you the context and framework to do just that. About this book. Human geography is a collection of sub-disciplines dealing with the location and distribution of human systems worldwide. I usually sum it up as why people live where they live and how do they live, though that is a vast oversimplification of the subject. As a discipline, we generally divide the subject between population, migration, urbanization, agriculture, industry, development, culture, and political organization. That is a lot to fit into one book. We will refer to these as the main sub-disciplines of human geography. When most people think of geography, they generally assume it is about memorizing place names and locations or making maps. Those things are part of this subject, but only minimally. Nowhere in this book will you find a quiz to test your knowledge. It is important, but the field of human geography reaches much deeper than memorizing place names and locations. Instead, we seek to understand how these sub-disciplines are present, distributed, and compared from one location to the next. This book is arranged thematically, not chronologically or regionally. Many geography classes are set up regionally, where the teacher goes region by region and talks about the different geographic, physical, and human features before talking about the superlatives and moving on. While that is an interesting way to learn what there is to see and do worldwide, you can find deeper meaning by learning it thematically. In this book, I'll introduce a concept, then give you an example, and invite you to come up with an example of your own where you can apply it. I'm hoping you'll think about the content and try to apply it to better understand the world around you. Then, through the examples, you'll be able to see how where you're living is connected to other parts of the world. I try to connect my personal experiences, like meeting Hamid, to explain how it is possible to connect with the materials personally. This does not mean you have to travel all the way to Beijing. You could just visit a part of town you've never been to, or even drive home by taking a different way to see what you can see. I'm selfishly hoping this book will inspire you to explore more wherever you are. How this book is organized. Human geography is a multidimensional field of study comprising multiple areas of interest and concern. As one of the social sciences, human geography seeks to better understand how people are living in different parts of the world. With so many applications for human geography, it is possible to find connections to any area of interest. This book will begin demystifying the field of geography by describing how geographers study the world in the following areas. Part 1. Introduction to Human Geography. Part 1 will look at the history of the field of geography in general and the study of human geography specifically. The chapters in this part will look at historical and philosophical developments in the field and how they've directed the study of the human world from a spatial perspective. There will also be a discussion of some of the overarching ideas known as the five themes of geography that help guide our study of the world. Part 2. The Geography of Human Habitation. By looking at the geographic phenomenon of population, human migration, and clustering of populations in urban areas, we can understand some trends in human populations. Where are they living? Why are they living there? How has their living there been affected by the physical characteristics of the land? We'll answer these questions in the chapters in this part. Part 3. The Spatial Organization of Human Systems. How humans distinguish themselves from one another can be done by creating intricate cultures and rigid political divisions. These are both topics that human geographers are interested in because they can be measured over space and time to come up with a clear picture of what makes groups of people unique and how they divide themselves from one group to the next. The chapters in this part look at the principles and examples of cultural and political geography. Part 4. The Spatial Organization of Human Economic Systems. The structure of economies and how people provide for themselves is of great interest to economic geographers. They can do this by examining the relationship between humans and the cultivation or utilization of the land to provide wealth. This can come either in the form of food production by different agricultural systems, or the mining and collection of resources to produce goods in industrial systems. These are large contributing factors that help better understand the levels of development and how humans interact with the land. Part 4 explains agricultural, industrial, land use, and developmental geographies. Part 5. The Part of Fives. The final part of this book, the Part of Tens, breaks down how you could use your knowledge of human geography in the job world and apply what you've learned in this book to the real world. Foolish Assumptions. Going into this book, I assume you are not a dummy, but just want to learn more about the topic. Human geography is not a required subject in most of the world. Subjectively, I think it's a terrible shame that human geography is not required learning everywhere, since it's so helpful. So I'm going to assume you've never taken a human geography course before and are learning this stuff for the first time. However, the thing about a lot of this content is that you probably are already familiar with a lot of it. You just didn't know there were terms and concepts connected to it. You might be reading this book to help you with a class or because of your general interest. Either way, I wrote the book to be accessible to all, no matter how old you are. I'm also going to assume you have an internet device nearby. There is only so much I can explain in a book this size, so I'll sometimes recommend looking up content to expand your understanding beyond what you read here. Almost all the topics I discuss can be much more complicated than what I have the space to cover in this book. Some topics can get complex to the point that people have devoted entire academic careers to understanding one part of them. For this reason, I use a lot of open-ended wording and avoid definitive explanations. I often point out exceptions and encourage you to find your own. You may be able to come up with some off the top of your head, or with a quick internet search. Icons used in this book. Throughout the book, I have used many examples to clarify specific points or direct you to other means of thinking. Here are the icons you'll hear verbalized throughout the book and how I use them. Technical stuff. This is pointing to some really specific stuff that I happen to think is really cool. These vocabulary terms and concepts specific to geography, or examples, help drive a point home. Either way, I highly recommend listening to these since they're often the bacon bits in the salad of the subject. Warning. Believe it or not, human geography does deal with some very controversial things. Students sometimes come up to me in tears when the material we've discovered in class don't align with what they previously knew. I use the warning symbol to occasionally point out these controversial topics where there can be varied opinions and understandings. Remember, you have a lot to remember when learning about the world. This icon alerts you to important information you don't want to forget because it can often make the entire process of understanding human geography go much more smoothly. Tip. Life is rarely straightforward. When you hear this icon, you'll find a strategy to help you get the most out of your understanding of human geography. Beyond the Book. Find out more about body language by checking out the bonus content at www.dummies.com. You can locate the book's cheat sheet by visiting the Dummies site and typing this book's title into the search field to find the cheat sheet. In the cheat sheet, you'll find more about human geography. Where to go from here? If you want and have the time, you can read this book from beginning to end. This book gives you a great view of how much, how, and where to save money for education. But if you don't have the time or the interest, you may choose to hop around from topic to topic, skipping those that don't apply to you and paying more careful attention to those that do. That's one of the great things about For Dummies books. You can get in and get out wherever and whenever you choose. If the information you need to understand a certain topic is covered elsewhere, the text will direct you, so you don't need to worry that you're missing basic information by skipping over a portion of the book. Part 1. Introduction to Human Geography. In this part, learn how to use this book and the tools within. Examine the history of human geography. Examine the world around you using the five themes of geography. Compare the differing philosophical approaches to the study of geography. Chapter 1. Welcome to Human Geography. In this chapter, what human geography is and isn't, the benefits of learning human geography, previewing what's to come in this book. Human geography, what is it? Obviously, that's why you're here. The easiest answer I can give you is that it's about why people live where and how they got there. The field of human geography is filled with topics you're probably already familiar with, and you just didn't know there was an academic study that tries to understand the trends and patterns of human systems over space. Human geographers look for the distribution of human systems, economic, political, social, and environmental, and how they impact, and are impacted by, their physical location on the Earth's surface. Originally, I aimed to teach high school history at a school near where I grew up. Through a weird series of events, I eventually moved to Omaha, Nebraska, to pursue a master's in geography at the University of Nebraska-Omaha, and then a PhD in geography from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. Via my training and experience, I have gotten many opportunities to travel, and my background in geography has helped add meaning to the things I have encountered along the way. Geospatial technology professor Nicholas Chrisman says, "Geographers never get lost. They only do accidental fieldwork." This is one of my favorite quotes because it's a nice way of embodying the field as one of discovery, intentionally or accidentally. Human geography opens many new possibilities to understand the world from a new perspective. I'm sure I occasionally drive my wife nuts as we travel, because I'll stop to photograph a seemingly insignificant thing. I'll take a photo, check around for anything else of interest, and mutter something like, "agricultural geography," before we're on our way again. Where one person may only see people working out in a field, a human geographer may see subsistence farming and topics for discussion in agricultural geography. I hope this book will help you grow as a geographer and use the terms and concepts within this book to understand the world around you. Also, I hope you will be encouraged to get out and explore. Whether exploring your own neighborhood, city, state, country, or even another faraway place, geography is about the world. That is where you'll be able to connect these topics best. Getting out and applying what you learn will make it all the more enriching. Important context for learning human geography. I would argue that geography is among the most misrepresented and misunderstood subjects. Many people's perceptions about the subject are that it is about simply memorizing place names and locations. As I'll cover later, this is the most basic baseline knowledge you'll get about geography. Human geography is a social science that studies people. People are also studied in other social sciences, history, sociology, anthropology, political science, economics, and psychology. Instead of studying people from a historical or structural perspective, human geographers examine many of the same topics from a spatial perspective. We're interested in culture, economic systems, political systems, and so on, but we're more focused on how those things are distributed. We'll cover some of these structures in depth. However, much of this book will focus on how things in one area are similar or different from other areas. For example, we won't get any detail about the tenets of Islam. That is best saved for a theologian. But we will look at how religions like Islam spread over time and space. When we teach social sciences in grade schools, the purpose is for students to develop their critical thinking and reasoning skills. I use the assertion, reasoning, evidence, ARE or R, method, which involves making assertions like English is the most widely spoken language in the world, and then explaining your reasoning for that assertion. This reasoning might include noting the number of native English speakers, the number who speak it as a second language, and countries where learning English is required in school. You might then support this reasoning with evidence, such as a series of maps showing the percentage of people who speak English fluently by country, and then comparing that to other languages. The evidence is crucial in building up the argument, because unless you're already an expert who has published papers, you're not a reputable source. When it comes to the social sciences, it's not what you claim or your opinions, it's what you can support. Remember, throughout this book, I've given you some background to show you why I'm a reputable source, but I'll be the first to tell you that I don't know everything about human geography. One of the disheartening things about studying is that the more you study, the more you realize you don't know. Remember, as a side note, this book does not contain every kernel of knowledge about human geography. In fact, there are many parts of the book where I encourage you to refer to other areas for their depth or expertise. An important part of human geography is the continual search for knowledge and the checking and rechecking of that knowledge's validity. For example, let's say you're trying to learn more about the prevalence of English across India. If your sources are all from one perspective, say the Indian perspective, you might only have part of the story. That is why it is important to supplement that research with sources from somewhere else, perhaps Britain, which can be used to corroborate the information you already have. Better yet, this is where geography gets really fun. The best way to learn about India is to go to India and learn for yourself. With the world changing as fast as it does, many commonly held truths are no longer valid. I have tried writing this book in as broad and timeless a manner as possible, and have tried to avoid writing too many things that would otherwise become outdated. All this is to say that geography, like many other subjects, allows you to evaluate information and assess its reputation. Technical stuff. Contrary to how some people use it, research is not just reading some stuff on the internet. The important components of doing actual research are developing a hypothesis, collecting data, analyzing the data, drawing conclusions, and then submitting them for review from others knowledgeable about the topic. Reading stuff on the internet will not make you an expert about anything. In human geography, we use the research method to expand our knowledge about topics and contribute to the field's knowledge bank. Geography, where things happen. Saying that everything happens somewhere is kind of a cop-out that gives a free pass for anything to be considered within the realm of geography, but it's not far off if you do it right. The geographic perspective differs from the other social sciences' distinct focus on space, where space combines the physical location on the Earth's surface and the interacting human and physical characteristics. Location, place, and space. Throughout this book, you'll hear space referred to in several ways. Location, place, and space refer to the same general idea with subtle nuanced differences. Location refers to an actual physical place on the Earth's surface. Place refers instead to the human and physical characteristics of that location. Space connects the ideas of place and location. Most of these differences can be used interchangeably. However, I have reserved the discussion of place for Chapter 3, The Five Themes of Geography. Technical stuff. Another nuance I tried to explain as much as possible is how to refer to an area as a political entity. In geographer speak, the word state, note the capitalized usage, can be used interchangeably with the word country because both refer to a politically designated land area that works at the national level and interacts with other states as an equal. A state, note the lowercase usage, is a subdivision of a state that has a lesser, more regional designation of political control that interacts with other states and is not on the same level with states. So state, with a capital S, refers to a country, and state with a lowercase s refers to the smaller subdivision of a state, similar to a province. A state would be something like the United States of America. A state, however, would be like the state of California within the United States. I use this convention throughout the book for consistency, so I felt it necessary to introduce it early on. Tip. While we're on the topic of naming conventions, in geography speak, a nation is not synonymous with a country or a state. In Chapter 4, The Philosophies of Geography, we'll talk about the different perspectives of space that geographers have used throughout the history of the discipline. There will be a specific emphasis on the sense of place idea that gets into the characteristics and the meaning we attach to different spaces. As we go through the topics in this book, I repeatedly redirect the focus on concepts to their connections to spaces and places. This is very much about contextualizing concepts in their physical locations to understand them in what we call the spatial perspective. Through the spatial perspective, geographers try to understand how human and natural features interact. In human geography, we focus heavily on human features, though natural factors remain very significant. Why learn human geography? I am very biased when discussing why learning human geography is important, but that should be unsurprising. Having taught almost every social science at the high school level, I can confidently say that human geography is my favorite subject because the students get it and can connect with the materials, making it easy to have engaging discussions about the different topics in the subject. With human geography especially, just about everything that goes on in the world can be placed into one of the sub-disciplines of human geography. Technical stuff. As I write this chapter, the Russian war on Ukraine is still very much ongoing. I often bring up this war through this book. Given its multiple connections to population and migration geography, cultural geography, and political geography. It even has implications in agricultural, developmental, and urban geographies. I don't use this war in every example, but I could have done so pretty easily. Geography, a practical science. That gets me to my first point. Human geography is a practical science with many applications. It's not a super abstract field with a lot of hard-to-comprehend topics. The content of human geography can be seen around you every day. Even the more complex stuff, like geographic models, maps, and different theories, are still fairly comprehensible because geography relies so much on real-world examples. I like to take my students on walks around the school or even have them look at pictures to see how many geographic concepts they can connect to what they see. We look for things like advertisements, architectural styles, and city structure, things that can all be connected to ideas found in the study of human geography. That's one of the reasons I strongly believe you've made a good choice learning more about human geography. It makes the world around you make sense. Tip. Throughout the book, I offer multiple suggestions for connecting the content to real-world situations, or I offer suggestions for seeking out more information through experiences. I even devote Chapter 22 to places you could visit to see different human geography ideas and hint at what you may want to look for.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?